Welcome to A Mystery Bible. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. We have been looking at the book of Exodus. We took a sidebar last week and looked at Adam and Eve from the vantage point of the book of Jubilees, and we saw some additional information that was not written within the pages of the Bible. And I just wanted to give you guys that additional information, if you will, because I, as you know, I love that type of stuff as well. And we saw some dates and appointed time and all of those different things that are not mentioned in the Bible. We saw that I've mentioned to you guys that the book of Jubilees is broken up into 50 years and so forth. And we saw the time frame as to when the creation of the earth happened and when the temptation happened and all of that stuff that is there in the book of Jubilees, which I would tell you guys to go ahead and read. It's a nice little book, and they call it the Little Genesis, as I've said that to you. So we are looking at this particular incident, a very popular, very well-known incident around the world and in Jewish history and so forth, about this Mount Sinai trip appointment that Moses had with God. And we saw from different points of view that it was many other things that he was receiving from God, the Torah and additional information. We saw that angels were there assisting as well. So this was a busy 40 days and 40 nights that he was up there gathering all kinds of information, being informed as to additional things that is going to be happening in the future as well as the things that took place in the past. And so he wrote it down with the angel's assistance and so forth. So we are going to continue looking at this particular stuff. And we're going to jump back, because I keep telling you guys that we use the Bible as our North Star, if you will. And we are going to look at the commandments. It's broken up into different pieces relating to different duties and so forth. Because we know that once he comes down from this particular appointment, we know that he is going to run into a situation that is going to be a mess with the people of Israel as well as Aaron. And so, but he is here gathering all this data. And let's take a look at from the vantage point of the Bible. We are looking at chapter 20 of Exodus. And the Lord spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, that thou have no other gods before me. So he's beginning to set the stage as to how he wants to maintain this relationship once he has brought his people out of bondage. And that, again, I've been telling you guys that this is in conjunction to you and I today. These are the same commandments, if you will, that God requires of us. That once we've come out from the house of bondage, that we have no other gods before him. And whatever format they show up in, you know, money, lust, or whatever that is that our gods are, he is saying that we ought not to have any gods before him, just as we were instructed in Matthew, that you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So as we are translated from the kingdom of darkness, being Egypt, we are released from that. And the Bible tells us that we are placed into the kingdom of God's dear son, two different kingdoms here. And so God is now going to give to us, as he did his children that has been in bondage for several years, some guidelines by which they are now going to maintain a relationship with him. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. So we see that this particular command, if you will, graven image, is one of the very first things when Moses comes down from the mount of Sinai that he runs into after God is giving him this information for him to bring down to the people. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, and I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children, upon the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. So I believe that if we are, this shows that if we hate God, we will worship other gods. And that is the criteria by which this relationship is being set up, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So God is saying he's going to show mercy to those who keep his commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Well, we know how the world feels about that, because they are taking God's name in vain all day long. And but God says that you know, when swearing and profanity and all those type of stuff, God says there's a price for that. He says he will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. So everyone that has been using God's name in vain has a tag tagged onto that. For their reward, if you will. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. We talked about that from the vantage point of Jubilees and how important it is. And the sixth day thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the seventh day of the Lord. In it you shall not do any work, thou, nor your sons, nor your daughters, your servants, your manservants, your maidservants, nor your cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. And so we know that God is saying this is a day of rest, basically. And it's a model that he used in Genesis when he created the heaven and the earth. And it says that because he rested on that day, it became a holy day. And so he's telling them that you guys are going to be able to do your work, but for the seventh day, it is a holy day. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And that, you know how they say this is the first commandment that has a promise tied to it. Honor your mother and your father, and that your days may be long. So there's a correlation, if you will, between time that we live here on this earth. As well, it can be tied into that as far as how we respect and honor our parents. And as I said, it is the first command that has a promise that ties up to it. It says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbors. And so he's bringing it down to the to how we relate to others. First, we started about him in relations to him and how we ought not to make any images and stuff like that. And then after we have our relationship with God, guide, he tells us how, because Jesus said, when the disciples ask him, what's the greatest of all the command, and God, Jesus says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so he's now laying down that same principle. First, you love your God, you have your relationship with your God, and you respect your mom and dad. They're the closest ones to you after your mom, after your relationship with your God. And then he begins to branch out to those outside of you. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is in your neighbor's. So you don't covet your neighbor's stuff, period. And again, these guys were accustomed to the programming of the Egyptians when they desired something, they get it. So it says, you shall not desire your neighbor's house. Don't do that. And verse 18, and all the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoke. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far off. You know, it's really funny about these people. But that's, as I mentioned, this is us. We do the very same thing. So we know that this is a noisy occasion that is happening with Moses and God, and the people are can hear it from afar off, and yet they are going to do some of the craziest things. And as we begin to see the descent coming from there, and so it tells us that Moses spoke with the people. Some of that is before when he went into the mountains. And so now let's take a look and see chapter 21. I wanted to go in there and bring some insights into the situation right here. So we see he gets some, and we're going to look also at the book of Legend of the Jews as to how they see certain things and so forth, and bring it into, bring it into insight into how it's done here and the different vantage point from what you ought to be doing. So, okay. So we know that he comes and God begins to tell him and instruct him about graven image, about the relationship with God, about the sixth day, the Sabbath day. Honor your father, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, don't covet your neighbor's things, and so forth. And all the people saw the thundering, and they got scared, and they backed off, okay? And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, at least we die. And so this was, again, when he was heading up in there. This is before, and we know that when he gets there, he begins to get all these data. So here we go as we look into, I wanted to look at the book of Yasher and see what they have to say once they talk about him. It says, and when the children of Israel saw that Moses tarried to come down from the mount, they gathered amongst Aaron and said, so he's up there for 40 days. And it says, let me go up ahead. It says, verse 11, and at the end of 40 days and 40 nights, when the Lord had finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, then the Lord gave to Moses the tablets of stone written with the fingers of God. And when the children of Israel saw that Moses tarried to come down from the mount, they gathered around Aaron and said, as for this man Moses, we know not what has become of him. That's really interesting stuff. You know, I love that type of behavior. But that's us. You remember I told you guys, I did a study on the timing of God. God does all things, it tells us everything he does in his time, and his time is always perfect. So when he was dealing with Moses, giving him all of this data, all of this information as to behavior and all these things, they feel now, because they haven't seen him in 40 days and 40 nights, that who knows, you know, we don't know what's happened to this man. Probably went up there and died. And so they began to revert back to what they know. And what they know is what they had experienced and lived in Egypt. They went back into idol worshiping. And this was the very first thing that he told them not to do. And yet here they are. So let's take a look at that again so that you guys can see. And then we'll move on from that space. And the children of Israel, one of the things I wanted to talk to you guys about before I move on about this timing stuff. It's very important that we stay in faith when we have that lapse of time, because that space is very dangerous, because what we started to do is we started our minds, our thoughts, the enemy starts to bring thoughts into our lives to instruct us that God has abandoned us and that God doesn't care, that God doesn't, you know, all of these things that he will put into your thoughts, and you will rehearse those thoughts, and then you will begin to get out of faith. And when you get out of faith, guys, that's where you lose it. And we've talked about how to stay in that gap where between the asking of your stuff and the manifestation of your stuff. And that gap is where everyone must be tested. Faith is not faith until it's tested. It's at that point in time, it's an opinion. And so every man and every woman that has ever gone through their faith journey, believing God for anything, has to be tested. We saw that with Peter. We saw that with the woman, the issue of blood. Anyone that you look at in the Bible, we saw that with these friends when they were trying to get their paralyzed friend healed, and they couldn't get to Jesus Christ. And they got up on the roof, and they began to rip it apart, and they lowered their friend in, and Jesus said it was their faith, that they had a test. The test was that there was no room there. And so they were determined to get to their friend before Jesus Christ so that they can get in. That's a test. Now, there is another story in the book of John where Jesus Christ is walking, and there's this pool of Bethesda where this man is there for 30-something years, and Jesus comes to him and says, hey, do you want to get well? And the guy began to lay out his obstacle. He says, I have no one to take me to the, to the water. So he's laying out his obstacle, but he makes a statement that Jesus was very fascinated with. He says, but while I'm trying to get there, someone else jumps in before me. So we see that that man, when Jesus looked at him, because he's the only one that Jesus saw, and the Bible tells us that there was a great multitude of people that was there at that time. And here is God Almighty standing amongst of people by the droves that are crippled, paralyzed, and all of those things. And we know, according to Isaiah 61, that his assignment was to come and to heal the sick and all these type of stuff. Yet here he is at this pool of Bethesda, and this man is by himself, and it tells us in the scripture that Jesus saw that man. He saw something, and he saw that thread that, of faith that is very important, that is always a part of our tests. And the children of Israel, they were supposed to stay in faith while he is doing all this stuff here. They could have been praying. They could have been worshiping God because they heard the voice of God. They heard the thunder and all these different things. And yet these people's heart, as the scripture says, these people's heart were hardened. And that's no different from any one of us, man. We just have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. And so this man that Jesus saw, this only man that Jesus saw, Jesus looked at him, asked him, do you want to get well? He said, yeah, I want to get well. And Jesus healed him. And he was the only one that got healed as a result, while God Almighty and the power of God resided in Jesus Christ walking the earth. And his assignment was to heal all those people, didn't heal anyone else that was lingering at that pool, which is really fascinating to me. And so that faith, then, it tells us that the majority of people are not walking by faith, are not interested in faith in the eyes of those that are walking in the kingdom of God. They are not interested. Many of people are satisfied with what they are, where they are, and all of these different things. And so it is very important that I know people ask, does God want to heal? Because the Bible says that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So yes, he does want to heal, but many of us don't want to be healed. And many of us don't want to be doing certain things. And so God has to, people always ask, does God want to heal? Yes, he does. But many people don't want to do that at all. And so there's a price to pay for that healing, and that price is is the walk of faith. So let's take a look at Exodus 21. We'll see that the law, God breaks down the law, and he begins to talk about the first part of it, about God, the second part of it, about the Sabbath, and then about families and stealing and all that stuff. And now he's going to begin according to 21. And again, pardon me, I'm just bouncing back and forth because I wanted to show you guys a couple of things. Chapter 21, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he was married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his masters have given him a wife, and she bore him sons and daughters, the wife and the children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. So we're looking at some of these things here that are pretty tough. But when God is dealing with culture, and he's staying within the culture, because when he created, it was Adam and Eve, and then later on these men, cultural, they had many different wives and concubines. Abraham had it, God wasn't upset, all kinds of different things. And that's why I tell people there's history, there's culture, and there is the principles of God and all those different things that are all within this book called the Bible. And some people get mixed up and argue different aspects of each, and not realizing that they're just messing up everything because they don't understand what the Bible is about. So their history there, their cultural stuff, manners. When we studied, I went to Bible school, Bible manners and customs that we had to study one of the classes. And so Jesus Christ operated within those as well. So just learn how to decipher the scripture. It says, study to show thyself approved. Just learn which is history and which is not. And it should be a lot less stressful that way, I guess, if you can understand the scripture when you're dealing with it. And so he's laying down how we should be dealing with each other, as far as slaves and masters and wives and all of those things. And it tells us that in verse 4, if the master gave him his wife and she bore him sons and daughters, the wife and the children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. I guess when you look at the rawness of it, the wife belongs to the master, I guess, is how you could look at it. And because she was a, quote-unquote, and I hate to say this, a property of the master, he can retain his property, and the man can go by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him into the judges. He shall also bring him to the door and unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ears through the wall with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. And if a man shall sell his daughter, if a man sell his daughter to a maidservant, she shall go out of as the men servants do. If she please not her master, who has betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell unto a strange nation, he shall have no power, seeing he has dealt deceitfully with her. And if he have betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. If he takes him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. And so we see again the adding of more women within that setting. And God is setting up a relationship as far as a daughter-in-law, how she should be treated, and so forth. And if he does not these three unto her, then he shall go out free without money. He that smited a man so that he dies shall be surely put to death. If a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint you a place where you shall flee. But if a man came presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar, that he may die. And he that smited his father or his mother shall be surely be put to death. And I guess that is the reciprocal of those that pay respects to mom and dad. You get blessed, and you don't, you get, you know, you die. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And if any man strive together, and one smite one another with a stone or with fist, and he died not, but keepeth his bed, if he raise up again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time, and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. And if any man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and if he dies under his hand, he shall be surely punished. Notwithstanding, if he continues a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit departed from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished. So they're saying, if this guy hits this woman who's pregnant and she has to abort her child, according as a woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judge determined. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, strife for strife. And if any man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. I guess if you want to remember, was it MASH when he used to dress as a woman to try and get out of the army? I guess what you could do is cause an eye injury and get out of it, I guess. And if he smite out his midservant's tooth or his midservant's maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. If an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. Again, this is just communal law as far as how one respects each other and deal with each other. Here's another one in 32. If an ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their masters 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. And so God begins to tell them how he wants them to relate to each other and behave with each other. And that is in Exodus chapter 20 and 21, so that you guys can go read that for yourself. And I briefly tapped in to the book of Yasher to gather some data that this 40-day length of time that caused the children of Israel to walk into sin. And that sin, what we're going to do is pick that up next week. I don't want to linger anymore with what's happening as far as the Ten Commandments. I want to move on and go through from when he comes down and what he encountered, and so that we can move through and pick up from there. So I just want to thank you guys for growing the channel, and I do appreciate it, man. I'm watching it grow, and it's been a long, hard road. You guys have no idea how many times I've wanted to chuck it in, but The Bible tells us that we ought to be faithful in the little things. And so it is my hope that I continue to be faithful with this particular podcast. Hopefully that we can grow together, man. The whole thing is that we would have this conversation so that we could see what God has done and how it relates to us back in the day, especially this exodus with the children of Israel from Egypt. It speaks volumes about how we are naturally with our relationship with God. He brought us out of Egypt, which is a representation of the world, and we are instructed through the Bible as to how we ought to behave, and that's what he's doing here with the children of Israel, because again, they have been in bondage for several hundred years, and he's reprogramming them, if you will, because under the rule and the how they lived with Egypt, it was totally different. It was a free fall. And God is trying to show them that that's not how you're going to do it here with him. You have some guidelines, if you will. And so these guidelines are there to protect the behavior of people against each other and so forth, and set up some guidelines and rules and regulations as what we encounter when we become born again. So because we are in this new kingdom, and the Bible tells us because we're in this new kingdom, we have new policies and procedures of by which we are going to live. So guys, thank you so much for sharing and for liking and adding some conversation in there. Again, I pray for you guys all the time. And thank you for those who are financially supporting me. Again, I know it's a tough time. And so I know some of you have given me $5 and $10, all of those things. I so deeply appreciate it, man. No amount is small when someone gives from their hard work and their heart. And so I don't look at anything and say anything but thank you, and that God will bless you and your family. So we are here to learn who we are so that we can become effective, man, and change this world.